Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Queen of peace, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we're celebrating the optional memorial of St. Elizabeth of Portugal, which is displaced in the United States because of the 4th of July, the national holiday, and we celebrate a special mass in petition for the good of our country on the 4th of July, but elsewhere, because she died on the 4th of July, St. Elizabeth, Queen of Portugal, it would have been celebrated yesterday, but we get to celebrate it today. And the other option is St. Anthony, Maria Anthony Zachariah. Maybe I'm getting the order of his names a little confused, but we choose this one because St. Elizabeth was also a Third Order Franciscan. She was born, of course, into a royal family. She was born to King Peter III of Aragon. And from the very moment of her arrival, it seems her life was marked with a special grace for bringing peace between people. Her father and grandfather had been at odds until she was born, and the joy of her coming brought about a reconciliation between the father and the grandfather. As a child, she was remarkable for virtue and lovability. Her qualities gave her father reason to hope that she would be the most accomplished of the women of the royal court. As a child, she was given to prayer and severe penance, but with joy. There was nothing pretentious about her austerity. And nonetheless, despite her tendency towards penance, she was very kind and gentle and full of cordial charity towards especially the poor and the oppressed. Elizabeth was given in marriage at a very young age, at the age of 12, to the King of Portugal, Denis. I don't know how old he was at the time, but the biographer says that the first years of their marriage were very happy, and she bore two sons. And as a wife and a mother, Queen Elizabeth was devoted, and she gave herself to the zealous practice of piety and works of charity, a very holy woman. Unfortunately, her husband, the king, at some point after their marriage, gave himself up to a dissolute life and became a scandal, not only to the court, but to the entire country. And Elizabeth, though grieved, bore it with great grace and never complained, and was more hurt by his offending God than by his infidelity toward her. She never uttered an unkind word to him, but rather turned to God with persevering prayer, and through forbearance and tender love endeavored to bring about his conversion, to bring him back to the path of virtue and duty. And she increased her acts of piety and her works of charity. There's one instance from her life that shows just how charitable she was. She would take care of the poor. She went to the hospitals taking care of the sick. And one day she was washing the feet of a sick lady, and she had washed one of her feet, and the woman refused out of shame to extend her other foot because it was badly eaten by a cancerous sore. And the saintly queen urged her to comply, which then she carefully washed the wound and lovingly pressed her lips upon it. And at that very moment, the wound disappeared. Through her heroic virtue, she was able to obtain the conversion of her husband, who begged her for forgiveness and returned to the path of righteousness. And thereafter, she frequently played the role of the peacemaker. Her husband seriously quarreled with his own brother over certain estates, property, and to bring about the peace, Elizabeth, out of her own possessions, gave the brother-in-law one of her estates, and that gained the peace between the two brothers. Later, her son became ambitious and turned against the father. He raised an army, and they went so far as to meet on the battlefield, and Queen Elizabeth mounted a charger and rode between the two armies, and exercising her maternal influence and wisdom, was able to get the son to desist, who then threw himself at the feet of his father and begged forgiveness. The queen, shortly after that incident, the king passed away, and then the queen gave up her royal her royal condition and moved into a small house near the monastery of the Poor Clares at Coimbra and gave herself to a life of prayer and good works. But she was once again called to bring about peace in her old age. Her son, now the king, was quarreling with the king of Castile, who was her son-in-law, and there was the threat of war growing between these two kings. And so, despite her old age and her ill health, she undertook this journey to go and bring about a peace between the two kings. And while she was successful in bringing peace and averting the war and all its evil consequences, because of her illness, she succumbed and got a high fever and then had time to make a holy preparation for death, and then shortly after passed away. And since her death, many miracles have taken place at her tomb in the church of the Poor Clares at Coimbra. She was canonized by Pope Urban VIII in 1625. I don't think I mentioned the dates of her life. She was born in 1271 and passed away in 1336, so not so long after the establishment of the Franciscan order. St. Francis passed away in 1226, so it was just within the century after his death that she lived and became a saint. There's a beautiful reflection in the breviary today from St. Peter Chrysologus that goes with her memorial, and it's on the subject of peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. And in this wonderful excerpt from his sermon, there's never any definition of what peace is given. Peace is, he lauds the quality of peace or the virtue of peace, but he doesn't ever exactly say what it is. But what you can gather from all these comments is that peace is that state of harmony between man and God. It's compliance with his law and with his love. And when man is in that state, he becomes then a channel of peace, as we sang in the opening hymn. There can't be peace between men when man is not at peace with God. Our Lord said, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. And St. Peter Chrysologus says that what that means is, it's as if our Lord says, as I left you in peace shall I find you. As Christ left the world, he wished to leave the gift he wanted to find when he returned. We remember also the concern of our Lord when he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith on the earth? And of course, where there's no faith in Christ, there can be no real peace between man and God. Our Lord said, if you love me, obey my commands. Saint Elizabeth, a virtuous, holy woman, also a head of state, or married to the head of state, was able to exert a great influence for peace in her country through her holiness, through her being in peace with God and being a channel of peace. Though we're not heads of state, we certainly are called to be peacemakers, to be obedient to the law of God, and thereby to be holy and happy, and to bring about the conversion of our brothers and sisters. Our nation cannot be a nation of peace if it turns its back on God, and we see that happening more and more in the public policies that are being proposed and imposed. Let us be channels of peace. Let us live according to God's law, and let us exercise influence, as did Saint Elizabeth, to try to bring our brethren to God so that there can be peace in our land and in the world. And may the Queen of Peace, the Blessed Virgin Mary, assist us in this. She gave us the rosary and asked us to pray it for world peace. Let us submit to the wishes of our Queen. Praise be Jesus and Mary.